So today we have a very interesting place of scripture, Parshat Toldot, Generations. It's Genesis 25 from the verse 19 to chapter 28, verse 9. And this is a very interesting place of scripture as for me, and I want to share with you a few ideas from this place of scripture. It's very hard to describe all this parsha because it's so deep, it's so interesting, so many different subjects there. But I want to speak about one of most important thing for me. I would like to speak about calling in the life of Jacob, about his calling. And also I want to speak about our calling in the Lord. I believe it's so important. It's not in my notes, but when I thought about this place, sometimes people are getting so tired in the ministry to the Lord. Sometimes they're getting weary. And I believe one of the reasons, because sometimes we as a people, we are losing the great picture. And without great picture, we are doing something small and we are getting tired of doing something small. But when we see great picture, and I name this great picture call from the Lord, it helps us to move on, to go deeply, even when we are weary and tired, to go deeply. So what's happened in the life of Jacob? It's amazing. He has the calling in his life. He was called by the Lord. And he breakthrough in his life. He was successful as a man of God. So, two parts of it. This is the recognizing of our calling, and the second, of course, obedience to our calling. Listen to the Lord and obey to Him. So important. So, first of all, I want to start with definition. So, calling from God includes different meanings, and I don't want to go in different meanings because we have a lot of to cover, but I want to talk about one of them. And I want to read from Exodus chapter 3. It's very simple definition of the word calling. The Lord called you, or called me, or called Moses, or called Jacob. Exodus chapter 3 from the verse 3. Beautiful place of scripture. I like it so much. That was the time when Moses was in the wilderness with his sheep. Here, this old man, Jewish guy, with his sheep, he's doing something there, he's protecting them, and now he heard something, he saw something. So Moses thought he saw the bush burning with a fire. I mean, I think it's very unusual thing to see in the wilderness. What do you think? And as every Jew, he was attracted to this bush. He wanted to see what's happening there. I'm not sure how many times in his life he was regret about this, or how many times he was rejoicing about it. I'm not sure, but here is it, the calling of Moses. So simple and so strong. Moses thought, I will go now and see this great sight. Why is this bush not burnt? This is the beginning of his journey for so many years with the Lord. Can you imagine? Sometimes big things starts with small idea, small fire. When Adonai saw that he turned to look, and it's so fun here, nothing spiritual. He turned to look at the bush. He called to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Now I can imagine Moses. I mean, how many thoughts went through his mind in this moment? I mean, he went to look at the bush. And now the Lord talking to him, Moses, Moses. Journey begins. Take a seat. So he answered, Hineni, here I am. So in Hebrew, the word the Lord called to him out of the midst of the bush, the word call, kara, it means literally to call out, recite, read, cry out, proclaim. So the calling from the Lord, this is the Lord's proclamation in our lives. He proclaimed, he called out for Moses. He starts with nothing spiritual, with Jewish interest for this small bush. I'm not sure about you, but in my life, I know, I'm sure, the Lord called me first. And when I respond to him after he called me, it's so good to know that he is calling us first. He finds us when we were sinners. He found this old Moses in the wilderness. And Moses, of course, he was looking for something new here. This was a special call to Abraham. He was called by the Lord to special mission in the wilderness through this bush. He heard the call of God for his life. He heard the voice of the Lord. So it means calling. The Lord call him. The same is with us. And this is a powerful idea, I believe. When the Lord is calling somebody, directing somebody to his perfect will, that call is also an act of creation. Because the Lord is creator. He took Moses, who was already ready to give up in his life. How young was Moses? Who remembers? Not 18th, yeah? AD. He was ready to give up. He tried to serve the Lord in 40, but he was not successful. And now he is the older man who is doing something with his cattle and sheep, and Lord is speaking to him, Moses, let's begin our journey. You are in the appropriate age. I'm calling you. So cool, so good for me. And also, he created something inside of Moses. Because sometimes when the Lord, often, most of the times, when the Lord is calling us, we are empty. We don't have our power. Because not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. This is the act of creation. He is giving life, power to accomplish his goals. It's beautiful. There is power of creation in the words of Adonai. All provision, all resources, all that is necessary to accomplish his calling. Not our calling, but his calling. He calls us to ministry. What do we mean when we talk about our calling? And I want to read from here. It's a very simple idea, one of the ideas. Usually we are referring a sense a person has or a group of people has that God wants a special job done for him and that he is encouraging a commitment to the task from that person or group. So he's given commitment, he's given task, and he's looking for our commitment to do his job, to do his will, to do his work. In the Romans chapter 1, and the first verse I like because this is the beginning of everything. Romans 1:1. He starts from these simple words. Paul, or Shaul, a slave of Messiah Yeshua. And I like this word here, slave. His will completely in the Lord's hands. Called to be an emissary or apostle and set apart for the good news of God. So good here. So Rabbi Shaul, Apostle Paul, he was called by the Lord. He was called by the Lord first to faith in Yeshua Messiah. This was his first part of calling. And all of us, we are called to faith in Messiah Yeshua. And the second part, he was called to the specific work of ministry, to be apostle for all nations of the world. So two parts of his calling. And I want to mention here, when Paul was called, he was not ready. He was not ready. He was enemy of Yeshua, if you remember when you read the Acts. He was enemy. He was fighting with Yeshua, with believers, with faith. And during his journey, during his way to fight with Yeshua, he was called by the Lord. Can you imagine? What a picture here. The Lord chose him, even in his hardness, in his difficult. He chose him, he called him to ministry. He was an enemy of the Lord. He was moving in a different direction, but after Teshuvah, after his repentance, an assignment from God, Paul received all that was necessary to achieve the Lord's goal. It was a miracle, clear miracle of creation. The Lord created a new person. Paul began to be a new person in the Lord. Amen. So therefore, all glory belongs to God. Amen. And I believe we are so good people here. But I'm sure when the Lord came in our hearts, we were changed by the power of the Lord. We were completely changed by His presence. When He called us, something happened inside of us. We were born again from God in the Holy Spirit. Of course, it's not likely that you will ever be called to be shipwrecked or to be stoned and left for dead as happened for Rabbi Shaul. I don't think so. We are not in this position in America yet. And let's pray that we'll never be. Amen. But I believe every one of us, like Paul, becomes a believer by responding to a call of God, by responding to His call to place our faith in Him. And also, every believer is called to steps of faith which become our personal ministry to the Lord. The same as Paul, we are called to faith and we are called to ministry, our personal ministry to the Lord, in the different level. So let's look at the calling of Jacob. Actually, his name Yaakov, not Jacob. I can imagine somebody call him Jacob. He would say, I'm not American. So I want to start with some very simple idea. And I heard some of the Christian teaching about Jacob, Yaakov, and I don't like it so much. So I want to start from this truth. You may know that Jacob sometimes gets a bad reputation from people who believe he stole his birthright, blessing from his brother. Some people believe and teach about it. But I believe, it's my personal thoughts and personal belief, that was not the case in his situation. Why? Because the Lord gave it to him even before he was born. It was his prophetic calling from God and his life. The Lord promised to his mother that he will be first, not Esau. Romans chapter 9 from the verse 10. And not only this, but also Rebekah having twins from one act with our father Isaac. Yet before the sons were even born, and had not done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose and choice might stand not because of works. So that is not because of anything either twin might do before even they're born. But because of Him who calls, it was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. It's Romans 9 from 10 to 13. So, Rebecca received a word from the Lord that Jacob was the one chosen for his generation to extend the line of the chosen people. So Rebecca heard the voice of God and submitted herself to the Lord's will. It was promises to Jacob even before he was born. And if it's his, he could not steal it. It's his from the Lord. She conveyed this word from the Lord to Yaakov and helped him to enter his calling. And he was a very wise mother. She saw something so important in the life of Yaakov. She was a godly woman. Godly woman. And if you will read the story, you will find why. She was a really godly woman, sensitive to the Lord. Let's think about this for one moment. Today we worship a God who calls himself the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Not Esau, but Yaakov. So the Lord saw something in the heart of Yaakov before he was born. He chose him. He put his spirit upon Yaakov from the beginning. And it's so important to know why the birthright was so important in the days of Jacob. Why is this was so important for them? The first of all, there were no priests from the tribe of Levi yet, because Levi was not born yet, were not priests. And therefore, the firstborn in the family became the priest for that family. He inherited priesthood from his father. Therefore, the birthright was extremely important for the ministry. It was generational blessing from generation to generation. You remember that Abraham had to drive Hagar and Ishmael out of his home. And it was very hard and difficult decision for Abraham and for Ishmael and for all family. It was drama. It was drama. Because Abraham loved Ishmael so much. He was firstborn. Why? It was necessary to be sure that the birthright would be given to the one who was to be with the priest for the family. For Isaac, not for Ishmael. This was the reason why Ishmael should go, should start new ministry. Why did Yaakov so passionately desire the birthright? Because he understood the calling God had for him. He understood it from mother. That he was to be the priest of his family. It was not mystery for him. He embraced it from the Lord. It was the promise for him from the Lord. And now I want to prove it. You know, the best way to go is to prove it through the scriptures. Let's read the scriptures. Genesis chapter 25. So we are going to the Torah portion, this week Torah portion. From the verse 29, chapter 25. Now Jacob cooked a stew. Stew, it's soup or what is it? Soup? Something, stew. When Esau came in from the field, he was exhausted, hungry and angry. You know, when we're hungry, sometimes we're angry. It's connected together in the man's life. So Esau said to Jacob, please feed me some of this really red stuff. I like this. Really red stuff. Ukrainian borscht, yeah. Red, really red stuff. Because I'm exhausted. And can you imagine, please grab this picture. He even don't know what is it. Really red stuff. I want to eat, you know. My stomach is empty. Give me something, this red stuff. It doesn't matter what. That is why he is called Adam. Adam, it means red. Because he wanted red stuff. Can you imagine? His name was forever this red stuff. because he sold his firstborn. So Jacob said, sell your birthright to me today. And this is answer, I mean, it's great answer from the verse 32. Esau said, look, I'm about to die. Of whatever use is this to me, a birthright, it doesn't matter for me. I'm dying. I want to eat. Of course, Jacob said, make a pledge to me now. So he made a pledge to him. So he wants so badly this red stuff. And sold his birthright to Jacob. It was test from the Lord for Esau. He was tested in his life. What does he want? What did he want? Then Jacob gave to him, and so Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank, then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. Despised. This is the picture here. Two people. One ready to put his life for birthright. Another, I mean, he doesn't care. Red things, white things, doesn't matter. Birthright, I couldn't eat it. It's not here, it's somewhere else. I don't see this. It is clear picture of two different kinds of people, two different ways of life, two different attitudes, completely two different. Esau attitude. It is clear for us that Esau had no interest in this spiritual blessing of zero. He was a good man, probably he was a good hunter, a breadwinner for his home. He was beloved son of his father. You know, father loved him so much. But to sell his birthright for a bowl of soup of this red stuff tells us that he did not value the birthright at all. Zero. It was not important for him. He felt no need to be the carrier of the blessing of Abraham or to be high priest in his generation. Can you imagine to be in generation of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau with this kind of high priest who don't care about God at all? Of course not. Blessing is so important, so precious for the Lord. Although he acquired all of Isaac's property and his inheritance, he lost the blessing of his father. Obviously, he was not the recipient of the call from the Lord. He was not. And let's look at Jacob's attitude. Jacob chooses spiritual blessing and priesthood. And what did Jacob lose? And what he gained? And when we read this chapter, we can find here, he lost everything, in the truest sense of this word, everything. He lost inheritance, father's money and everything. He lost property. He flew from his home because he was afraid of his life, for his life. He lost parents and family. But what did he gain? He gained blessing and inheritance from the Lord. He left all of that in order to save his life in a foreign land, taking only his faith in the Lord and the blessing of his father. But what did Jacob gain? A calling, an election, a priesthood. And later, he gained everything. Money and property and everything. Later. Because if Lord called you, he will give you everything that you need. He gained everything. The point is that the value of the Lord, his calling from the Lord above everything else in his life. He decided to walk after the Lord. And surely, in the eyes of many people, at the time he looked crazy, but he became great in the eyes of the Lord. Great. Amen. So a few lessons for us. And I have 5 more pages, but we'll cut. And this is very important for us to listen. Please listen carefully. Today the Lord is looking for people, and He is here. His Spirit is here. Who will put His interests above their own interests. He's looking for our hearts right now in this moment. Of course, for most of us, following the Lord does not mean losing everything, of course, because Jacob's case was a very special case. He had great calling in his life. It's not the case for most of us. We will not lose everything. But I know that every person called by the Lord must choose the will of God for himself, and he will pay price for following. Your own price. Nobody knows this price. But every person who called by the Lord will need to choose the will of the Lord and will pay the price. I don't know what price. I know my price, you know your price, but it's necessary for following after the Lord. As I look at the example of Jacob's life, I must thank each of you who have answered the call of the Lord and faithfully continued to serve Him. Thank you for doing that. Be focused on the Lord. Follow Him. Don't leave Him. You have so much from the Lord, so many things from the Lord. Never stop living and breathing for the Lord. Work tirelessly to bring people into His kingdom and to build up His precious congregation. This is the essence of sacrifice. We are sacrificing something that is dear and important to us, our time, our interests, our plans, our life. Surrendering those things on the altar of the Lord to pick up the things that are important to Him. Our time, everything in our life is His. Amen. And Rabbi Shaul is in the Romans chapter 12 from the verse 1. I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, that is good and acceptable and perfect. And I know that we don't have much time on this earth, not much time to respond to God's call. We need to reserve a time and a place in our lives for the Lord and His plans. We need to find this time. We need to open our hearts, our time for the Lord. Amen. So we need to live our life in such a way that when we stand before the throne of Almighty God, we would not be ashamed of our life. This is our goal, not be ashamed in the end. And really, in the finish, I want to open the second idea. If we are to answer the call of God, we must be acceptable and available to God. Let's say together, acceptable, available. We need to be pure, and we need to be ready to follow Him. And this is a great thing. I mean, I want to stop here 1 second, please. Jacob, he made mistakes. He did mistakes. He was not a perfect person. Was he? No. When we read scriptures, we can say, Jacob, come on. What are you doing there? As we are, not perfect people. Not perfect. But you know, one thing I like in life of Jacob, he was always, always, always available to God. Always. So many times the Lord was talking to him. He was ready to do this thing or that thing. He was not perfect, but available. So Lord can use him in His way. It's so important. Why? This is very, very simple statement. Be available to the Lord. Let's say together, be available to the Lord. You know why? Because we are always very busy. And the truth that we will be always very busy. This is our life. In our youth, we tell ourselves, I'm still too young, there will be time. In adulthood, I'm so busy with my work, with my things to do. Maybe in future. In old age, oh, it's already too late. So when is this time for the Lord to do His will? I believe in youth, in adulthood, in the old age. Any age is good for the Lord. He is great. And look in the life of Moses, in the life of Abraham, in the life of Paul. Every age is great for the Lord to serve Him. Every time. So let the Lord find that narrow door, that opportunity when we can be useful to Him and to others in this perishing world. Be ready to recognize it and push through the moment it opens. So, and I want to stop here and I want to pray for all of us because we are busy in our lives, but we are called by the Lord. And when we are tired, please remember, is the biggest picture. The Lord called us to the glory. He called us to greater ministry. And these small things are so important for the Lord. So if you're doing something small, it's so great in the eyes of the Lord. Everything big, everything huge starts with the small things. Amen. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for the time in your spirit, Lord. Thank you for Beth Israel. Thank you for this place, Lord, for your presence in this place, Lord. Thank you for your love to us, Lord. Lord, I ask, please forgive us every time when we said no to you, Lord, or we said yes and just give up, Lord. Please forgive us, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and for renewing our lives, Lord. Help us to continue to walk with you and to accomplish your goals, Lord. Help us to please you, Lord, every day of our lives. Lord, we love you, Lord, and we want to follow you. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Amen. So let's stand together and finish our service, close our service. Yevarechecha Adonai ve'yishmerecha Yaher Adonai panav alecha v'yichunecha Yisa Adonai panav alecha ve'yasem lecha shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious, give you His peace. And in the name of Prince of Peace, Yeshua. Amen.
Shabbat Shalom.